Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our virtual learning at Share. I really find that Zoom was one of the positives that came out of COVID. In the olden days, if there was a snowstorm or a total gridlock, we couldn't go out. We would either have to drive in kind of snafashos weather, who remembers driving in snowstorms, me, or cancel Share. And Baruch Hashem, virtually, we have learned that we don't need to cancel Share. Last night, I gave a Share at Share. There are about 40 women in person and 40 women on Zoom. So, Baruch Hashem for technology when it's used for very good things. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmasa and L'Zeichu Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hoshalom. Miriam Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the Schus of the Torah learning that we will share this evening. And we are also indebted to the Fron family for their continuous support of this Shir, L'Zeichu Nishmas, their mother, Alaha Hashalom. So we are still continuing the same topic. I'm not finished with the sources that I prepared. I don't know how I thought this would all be one Shir, but it turned into be a series. But I must thank Esti Klein, who's on this call, because last week we missed Shir. I was away for a couple of days, few days. And after two classes ago, Esti Klein reached out to me to tell me, Imani Khan, HaKol Kan, what Hillel would say at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is actually brought down by Rabbi Pesach Krohn. She sent me the source, right, Esti? In Illuminations of the Maggid, she told me the page, so I have all Rabbi Krohn's books. So what I'm thinking to myself is that I must have learned it here. I don't think I came with the Chiddush on myself and not remembered where I read it, which is unusual, because usually I remember where I learn things. I must have learned it in the Sefer. I've learned through all the Sfarim. I take notes in the back I've showed you, so I remember what insights are on what pages of every sefer that I learned. See? Those are my handwritten notes. It says page and insight. So I think that I must not have remembered learning the insight here. I just remember the insight. So I'm going to quote from Illuminations of the Maggid. Okay, if you have the sefer, page 283 through the top of 285. Chazal teach a Masechta Shabbos that a person should always be as humble as Hillel. Whenever Hillel cited both his teachings and the teachings of Shammai, he always cited Shammai's teachings first to give kavod to Shammai. Because of such humility, Hillel's rulings were always accepted as halacha. That's from Maseches Eruvin 13b. Rabbi Pesach Krohn quotes that here. And the Gemara there is very, very beautiful. The Gemara teaches us that for 2.5 years, Nechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had an argument. They had many mechilkas l'shem shamayim. Their students certainly had many mechilkas l'shem shamayim. And finally, a bas kol came out and said, "Elu ve'elu." This is Eruvin Yud Gimel Beis. Elu yatzitza bas kol ve'amar. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayimim v'halacha k'beis Hillel. You're right, and you're right, but we paskin like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, if you already said that these are the words of living God, and these are the words of living God, why do we paskin like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, because they are humble, low in spirit, they're forbearing, they're forgiving, so we paskin like Beis Hillel. So this is the Gemara that Rabbi Pesach Krohn references. So we should be humble like Hillel. Yet, writes Rabbi Krohn, during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva celebration in the Beis HaMikdash, Hillel said something that seems so out of character. As the festive crowd gathered and got bigger, Hillel exclaimed, "Imani kan, hakol kan, if I am here, then everyone and everything is here." That statement seems inappropriate, says Rabbi Krohn, especially for someone as humble as Hillel. He quotes a Rabbi Shmuel Ackerman, a noted child therapist, who once told an insight that he heard from his Rabbi, Rav Nissen Alper Zatzal, 1927 to 1986, one of the most outstanding students of Rav Moshe Feinstein. This insight helps explains Hillel's words in a manner that makes more sense with his humble manner and that applies to us all. Rabbi Alpert explained, Hakol, everyone, does not refer to Manikan Hakolkan. If I'm here, everyone is here. Rather, Hillel is referring to himself. He was saying, if I am here, Imanikan Hakolkan, all of me is here. Imanikan, if I'm here, then Hakolkan, all of me is here. Quote, I am paying attention to you. My mind is not wandering. I am not thinking about other things. I am not impatiently waiting for you to finish what you are saying. You have my undivided attention. In today's idiom, one would say, I don't text or answer my cell phone while I'm talking to you. That is Derech Eretz. That is humility. That is a refined character trait from which we can all learn. And that was the way of Hillel. Recent studies show, continues Rabbi Cohn, that rudeness is on the rise. Rudeness is on the rise as people have become obsessed with texting and reading their email on their smartphones in the middle of conversation, in the middle of a business meeting, and even in the middle of davening. This lack of attention hurts our children, our employees, and our relationships, says Rabbi Ackerman. We can learn from Hillel while focusing on how to focus on another individual is all about. When children know we are there for them with total commitment and attention, it reduces their childhood fears and anxieties. Again, this is a Rabbi Shmuel Ackerman, a noted child therapist, and it's written by Rabbi Cohen. When children know we're there with total commitment and attention, it reduces anxiety and fear. When employees know they have their employer attention, they produce more. And certainly, when we are totally focused more on Hashem during our tefillos, they are more apt to be answered. The powerful directive, disconnect to reconnect, is the essence of Hillel's message. At the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, says Rabbi Cohen, where there were thousands of people, many of them surely came to greet and speak to the great Hillel. He may have been reassuring each and every one of them. He would give every person who approached him undivided attention. I'm Ani Khan. If you want me to be here, if you need me to be here, Hakol Khan, all of me is here. I'm not distracted while I'm speaking to you. How special that must have been. Last sentence of Rabbi Cohen, we should take the lesson to heart. We must connect with our children, our friends, and others who crave our attention. So my thanks to Esti Klein once again. And I must have learned it in Rabbi Cohen's Sefer and then forgot where I learned it. So now I am correcting my source, which seems to be from Rabbi Pesach. You want to know the funny story? You want to know how I know I must have learned it here and forgotten that I learned it here? Because the entire Sefer, when I went to take it off the shelf, you ready? MS? I didn't stage this. There's one sticky in the whole Sefer. I promise. Because my Sefer, if you go to my shelf, they have stickies all over the place. This Sefer, Illuminations of the Maggid, has one sticky. And you know where it's open to SD? You know what the sticky is? On that inside of Rabbi Cohen. What year is this published? Illuminations of the Maggid? 2016. Okay, so there we go. Now, I'm going to an article that was published in Mishpacha, I don't know, about a month ago or so, okay, by Eitan Kobri. And his column every week is called Text Messages. So I'm not reading the first half. The first half was about an asifa at New York's Citi Field Stadium to address internet usage by Orthodox Jews that took place 9 years ago. It was in Mishpacha about a month ago, this article, okay? I even wrote on the top, Shari 621, because I thought we were going to get to a few weeks ago. So I'm skipping the first part. It's about the asifa, which I don't know if any of you remember, 9 years ago to address internet usage amongst the Frum Welt. The second half of the article is very, very relevant to our learning. Listen carefully. The internet assaults us as humans and as Jews. It both removes us from the world we are meant to dwell in. The internet removes us from the world, Olam Hazeh, the world we're meant to dwell in, the world of relationships with others, the world of concentration, the world of paying attention. Doesn't this happen to you? It happens to me all the time. You're at a red light and the first car is not moving. The light turns green and I see you're nodding yes. So you know why the people aren't moving anymore. It used to be when the light turned green, you couldn't wait to go through the intersection. Now what happens? They're sitting. Why are you sitting? Because they're on their phones. The internet removes us from the world we're meant to dwell in, while also dragging us into a world into which we do not really belong. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos speaks of the midos of kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, and kavod, a quest for honor, as things that are motzi as ha'adam min ha'olam. Kina, taiva, and kavod motzi as ha'adam min ha'olam. When a person lives with the traits of jealousy, you're constantly desiring and jealous of what someone else has. Taiva, strong desires for things that we should not be involved in. And finally, kavod, the yearning that you should have honor in your life when it is undeserved and inappropriate, but you want people to give you honor. These motzi as ha'adam min ha'olam, they drag a person out of the world. They remove a man from this world. Why? Writes Eitan Kobri, because in the throes of pursuit of honor or lust, a person actually detaches from reality. In fact, the Gemara that we quoted before, Maseches Eruvin, Yud Gimel Beis, continues there. And the Gemara says that when a person runs after honor, honor runs away from him. When he runs away from honor, honor runs after him. A person detaches from reality when he lives in the throes of pursuit of honor or lust. And sustained internet use, the kind that now has more than half of Americans spending more than half their waking lives in virtual internet worlds, does precisely the same. Listen to that statistic again. Sustained internet usage, the kind that now has more than half of Americans spending more than half of their waking hours living in a virtual internet world, does precisely the same. Motzinas ha'adam min olam, and removes us from the world in which we are meant to live, in the world of bein adam mechaveiro, the world of bein adam amakom, and the world of bein adam la'atzmo. We are gifted with hearts capable of embracing every person we meet. We are told to be mekabos kol adam b'sefer panim yafos. And we are told to be, that's Hillel teaches, Shammai teaches us that, and I believe it's Rabbi Shimon who teaches us, hey, mekabos kol adam b'simcha. We are not meant to become robots and computers and dummies. We're gifted with hearts capable of embracing every person we meet. We are gifted with the ability to experience so much joy from everything we observe around us. It's a beautiful world. We have minds capable of grasping depth. We can learn, we can grow from every experience we have. Yet, we allow the richness of life lived in the real world to be reduced to what fits into the little box we hold in our hands. I was listening to a shir by Zev Leff the other day, and he said, he was talking about, it was commentary on Kinnos. It was from a few years ago, Tisha B'Av. It's a 3-hour shir. I'm listening to it in stages on different walks. It was from a number of years back, and so he talks about different topics on the Kinnos. It's about Galus, exile, and Churban, and destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. We're in the 3 weeks. Rabbi Zavov was saying that the Yetzer Hara today is stronger than it ever was. It is harder today more than ever to withstand the pull of the Yetzer Hara. He said it used to be so hard to have access to the things that the Yetzer Hara wants us to see. You had to figure out how to buy it and go to the store and sneak it home. He said now today everyone just carries the Yetzer Hara in their hand. And it's so easy to access. And he said to compound the problem is that, said Rabbi Leff, Galus means it's so hard to see Hashem. And it's so hard to find Hashem. We can't even perceive him. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was so clear that the Shekhinah was so present and manifest. But after Churban, after destruction, it's so hard for us to see Hashem, to find him. He said, everyone today who is either off the derech or who is never on the derech is not considered a kofar. They're considered a tinok shenishba, a captive, a baby who is a captive. Why? They're captive of the Yetzer Hara. And Hashem is so hidden. I believe it was Rav Chaim of Volozhiner who taught, Vanochi haster astir panaymi kem bayamahu. I will surely hide my face from them on that day. Devarim perek lamen aleph psukim yud zayin through yud ches is the topic of hester panim in the Torah, the concealment of the divine presence. Vanochi haster astir panay. I will hide my face. Why double lashon of hiding my face? The hester panim and gals is so deep. The concealment of the divine presence is so deep, we don't even know he's hiding. If you're playing hide and seek with someone, the way to understand this, the explanation given is if you're playing hide and seek with someone, so you know that there's someone hiding, so you know to search. Anochi haster astir panai. I will hide the fact that I'm hidden. We don't even know to search for God. He's so hidden, we don't even know what's missing. We don't even know where he is. Rabbi Lev said, when you see today children, Rechmana Letzan, who go off the derech, children who are struggling, he said, we're not angry. He said, we have to be sad, we have to cry, we have to daven. But he said, at least understand the taivos that this generation faces, the desire, kina taiva v'kava, the yetzara, the evil inclination that this generation faces. Understand why they're so confused. Understand why they're so pulled. And he said, I shudder to think what I would have become if I would have grown up in today's generation. He said, it used to be so hard to find the goal of the HR today. He said, everyone carries it in their hand. And I found it very profound. He said, when children are struggling, he said, it's because Hashem is so hidden. It's so hard in Galus. at least understand where that person is coming from and why they are so confused. So you could cry, you could daven, but they almost can't be blamed for making these bad choices because Hashem is so hidden. We don't even know he's hidden. We don't even know he's there. We don't even know to look for him. This is the worst consequence of Galus. This is the worst consequence of the destruction of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. It should be Alavaya Menachem Av. We're entering the most difficult, destructive, tragic 9 days on the Jewish calendar year. The greatest consequence of Galus is Shechinta B'Galusa. The Ribono Shel Olam's presence is hidden from us. And when we don't even know that God's hidden, we don't even search for him. And when we don't search for him, we become involved with so many things that pull us away from our task of Avodas Hashem. You know, they said at my daughter's at TMM 12th grade graduation a couple of weeks ago, Baruch Hashem. So I don't remember if it was Mrs. Gornish who said it or Mrs. Mandel, the head of the school, Mrs. Gornish and the Hebrew principal, or Mrs. Mandel, the English principal. But one of them said to see a class in 2021 of graduating girls, and she paused and she said, I'm deliberately using the English day. In this day and age, to see a class of girls who are so interested in growing in Avodas Hashem, that such a class and such girls and such frumkeit and edelkeit can exist in 2021 when the world around us is so dark and so confused, is such a testament to the power of Torah and to the strength of these Talmidos, that they're still interested in finding the Ribono Shel Olam and they're questing for God. It's so hard today, says Eitan Krobi. We allow all of the richness of life in the real world to be reduced to what fits into the little box we hold in our hands. And listen to this next line. Cows, C-O-W-S, cows in the pasture are always looking down. They're looking at the grass. Their whole reality is the grass. My parents used to have a summer home. We called it a cottage. That's what it's called in Canada. No matter what the place looks like, it's called a cottage. So don't think of Hansel and Gretel. And we would drive up to the cottage. It was about an hour north of Toronto. And there was always farms with sheep. And if you ever drive by a field of sheep, they're mamish, literally looking down the entire time. Their whole reality is the sheepdog is guarding them, and they're looking down the whole time. Cows at pasture look down. They look at the grass because the whole reality is the grass at that moment right in front of them. The animals, they by instinct, if they're going to eat right now, they're going to eat. People are meant to look up. He doesn't quote the pasuk, but it fits. Su'u marom einechem, ru'u mi bara eira. Hamotzi kochavim b'mispar b'sheimosam. Lift your eyes to the heavens. See who created all this. People are meant to look up. We're meant to look at the heavens. We're meant to look at the oceans stretching on without end. We're meant to look at Hashem's beautiful world. We're meant to look at the Tzalem Elohim in every face that we encounter, the divine image and the divine spark, the godliness in every person that we encounter. But yet, as we look around us, pay attention in the line at the bakery, in the line at the bank, on the park benches, as the kids romp and play, at shul, waiting for mincha to begin. Are people looking up? Are people looking at each other? Or are people looking down? We all know the answer for the most part. You see people walking constantly. Everyone's always looking. I'm not saying I'm exempt. I'm not giving anyone mussar. I'm being serious. I'm really not giving anyone mussar. We're learning through this together. It's a very difficult parsha. It's a big, big nisayon. You go to the supermarket, everyone's looking down. You look outside, people walking the street, everyone's looking down. We look at babysitters or mothers pushing baby carriages and everyone's looking down. And I don't mean at the kid in the stroller. There are some yotzei min haklal, I understand, but there are klal. The cows look down. Their whole reality is the grass. The sheep, their heads are always down. We're meant to look up. But look around you at the bakery, at the bank, on the park benches, at shul waiting for the weekday mincha begin. In which direction are we looking? I'm going to add this, even though he doesn't write it, but it's so true. Hashem created animals as four-legged. Okay, a dog walks on all fours, so if he's walking on all fours, that's where his head is going to be. A cat walks on all fours. A tiger, I know they look up, but it's much easier. They're lower beings. Person is upright. Hashem could have also made us walk on all fours. They have hands and legs. excuse me, I should say hands and feet and arms and legs. And we also have hands and feet and arms and legs. If Hashem would have created us that way, it wouldn't have been weird. It sounds funny when I say it, but it wouldn't have been weird. Just like apes walk on all fours. Have you ever seen they put their knuckles down to walk? So we too, Hashem could have made us like that. The fact that Hashem made us as upright beings means that we're meant to be upright beings. We're meant to be panim al panim to each other. How did the Kruvim do? The Kruvim, the cherubs on top of the Aron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, in the Beis HaMikdash, what was it? Face to face. Also relates to Churban. An enemy came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim at the time of Churban. What did they find? The Kruvim were facing each other. They were embracing. And then, says Eitan Kobri, is it Rabbi Eitan Kobri? Does anyone know? It just says Eitan Kobri. I'm not sure. I don't want to not be Bukavadik. Then there's the world we're not sucked out of. Okay, so the first problem is we're sucked out of the world we're supposed to be in. We're sucked out of an enjoyable Olam Haba, out of interaction with others, out of meaningful tefillah with God, out of even knowing ourselves. But there's also the world we're being sucked into. It's a world that is not ours. It's a not Jewish world. News, shopping, entertainment, he puts into parentheses the kosher kind, of course, and much else, Mr. Kobe, okay, thank you very much, and much else, into which an internet user is slowly, ineluctably, I mean against as well, ineluctably pulled. So we're pulled out of the world we're supposed to be into, and we're pulled into the world we're not supposed to be into. The not-Jewish world of news, shopping, entertainment, the kosher kind, of course, and much else, into which a internet user is slowly, ineluctably pulled. It celebrates heroes we don't recognize for feats we don't value, F-E-A-T-S. It celebrates heroes we don't recognize for feats we don't value. It makes us buy things we don't need and should not want. I don't know if, you know, young children today, Amazon, I don't even know if they know what it means. It means you go online and you say, I need this. So you go to Amazon and you click and 2 days later, it's at your house. When is it coming? I need to check the shipping. Could you tell me when my package is coming? Is there any concept of even spending money? It celebrates heroes we don't recognize for feats we don't value. It makes us buy things we don't need and should not want. It makes us laugh at things that ought to embarrass and perturb us. The inappropriate jokes, the memes, the comments that are made in family or friends or other chats. It's a very powerful article and it's all true. We celebrate heroes we don't recognize for feats we don't value. We buy things we don't need and should not even want. We laugh at things that should really embarrass and perturb us. Remember I told you I was on a chat and someone said that someone had a baby. A few people said Mazel Tov and then someone said another one. Thank you very, very much to Beffy Kielsen. Ineluctably means not to be avoided. Thank you. So we are slowly pulled into a world that you almost cannot avoid. Thank you very much. And the damage is incremental. It happens slowly in increments, but long term. As MIT professor Shelley Turkel observed, quote, the little devices most of us carry around are so powerful that they change not only what we do, they change who we are. It's really powerful and profound and a little bit more than scary. The damage is incremental, but it's long term. As MIT professor Shelley Turkle observed, the little devices most of us carry around are so powerful. They change not only what we do, they change who we are. That was a quote. We might take umbrage, writes Eitan Kobri, at being referred to as assimilating Jews. We are not assimilating Jews. That's for our unfortunate Reform brethren. That's not about us. Sorry, folks. The Reform have long been fully liquefied, O Rechman Alitzan. The Reform have long been fully liquefied in the American melting pot. It is now we who are slowly acclimating ourselves to that cauldron, in no small part due to the powerful little devices we carry around. What do you mean it's working now? It wasn't working? Shawnee Groats, I don't know what that means. It's working now, thank you. Was the Zoom not working? Can you hear me and see me, everyone? Yes? Okay, thank you. Okay. The reform have long been fully liquefied into the American melting pot. It is we who are acclimating ourselves to that cauldron, in no small part due to those little powerful devices we carry around. Back in the 1960s, remember, I didn't quote the whole first half of the article. Back in the 1960s, Gedolitor waged a battle to render TRAFE the presence of television in a from home. Happily, they largely succeeded. But now, who needs a television? Half a century later, while there are televisions and movie theaters in nary an Orthodox living room, they can be found in many a from pocket. Every person, I'm continuing. I think that this article is extremely important, and I'm going to finish. Every person has his red line of acceptability, which is crossed. Okay, every person has their own red line, which is crossed when he realizes the things he thought he could never live without, the things you thought you could never live without, are actually things that as a Jew and a human being, he cannot live with. Once we redirect the misdirected internet conversation, it should not revolve exclusively around inappropriate images, but around the most precious commodity there is, our lives themselves. It's not only about seeing inappropriate images. Let's say you're on a chat and someone's a baby and everyone says Mazel Tov. So no one said anything bad. What about our time? What about the quantity and the quality of our lives? How many openings do we have to write, do we have to see happy birthday said 25 times? I'm not trying to disparage anyone. I'm being serious. You know how much time that takes? Every time there's a ping? It's not only about seeing the inappropriate images. What about the most precious commodity that we have? Our lives. And the quality and quantity of our days. Once we take stock of that, we will know what we need to do. We will refuse to see ourselves any longer as helpless in the face of the digital juggernaut. Rav Soloveitchik actually uses that word. It's frightening. After one of these shiurim, someone said to me, it's almost impossible. Everyone's just addicted. But it's not true. It's not impossible. We can make change and it can be done. The Eitz Hadas offer temptations of every kind. The Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge of good and bad, going back to Bereishis chapter 3. God told Adam and Isha, don't eat. Well, I shouldn't say that. Hashem told Adam not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the Eitz Hadas. Isha was persuaded by Nachash. I don't call her Chava on purpose. She is not named Chava till the end of Perek Gimel. Isha was persuaded by Nachash. She took from the fruit. Atikach mepiri avatochal, vatitin gam liisha ima vayochal. She took from the fruit. She gave it to her husband. He took from the fruit. And that was when man became mortal and kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The Eitz Hadas offered temptations of every kind, physically, aesthetically, and intellectually. Atei ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'macha v'chi taiva hu le'enayim v'nechmar ha'etz l'haskia. It aroused all of her senses. She saw it was good for eating. She desired the fruit. It was amazing to think about. She couldn't get her mind away from the Eitz Hadas, the language used to describe her desire from the tree. Almost sounds like a sexual desire. It was an orange, not really. It was wheat, it was an esrog, it was a fig. The Medrash gives a whole many possibilities of what it was. But she had such a strong taiva for this fruit. Eitz Hadas was tempting in every way, physically, aesthetically, and intellectually. Its fruit was succulent to the palate. It was enticing in appearance. It was desirous for the mind. But at the crucial moment of truth, the serpent succeeded in diverting Isha's attention. He says Chava, but I don't call it that yet. In diverting Isha's attention from the one truth that could make her decide she could, she must, live without its fruit. We have to ask ourselves, where's our red line? I have drastically, you could do whatever you want. I have drastically reduced my participation in group chats just because the drain in time is unbelievable. Even with people that I love and like. How much time do we have to post 25 happy birthdays? Now read 25 happy birthdays. We don't even realize the lines that we have crossed. We don't even realize the draw that this is taking away from other productive things. We're constantly looking down like cows, he says, or like sheep. We're supposed to look up. Lift up your eyes. Maybe not. If you can't relate to it, it's fine. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. If you think I'm being too fanatic, okay. If you make an honest assessment of our use with our devices, and there are certainly yotzei min haklal, and you could definitely, kol kavod to you, be amongst the yotzei min haklal. I mean, how many articles do I have to read? A few months ago, I already stopped reading political articles. Hashem runs the world. I'm not saying you should live with your head in the sand. I'm not saying you shouldn't know when there's a war in Israel and you have to daven. Imo anochi b'tzara, and we have to say Tehillim, and we should mourn when there's a loss of life. Kol Yisrael ravim zebazeh. But all the extra, just drains our time. It drains our quality of life. There is no imani kan hakol kan. I don't know if you can relate or not, but to me it's just a basic truism and a reality of the new world in which we live, the brave new world. At the crucial moment of truth, the serpent succeeded in diverting Isha's attention from the one reality that could save her. She could live without it. I could live without being the 26th person to say happy birthday. And then causing 25 other people to take time to read and respond. How much? What has happened to us? That the price to be paid for her decision was life itself. In that case, like literally life itself. Never mind the quality of life. It was literally life. In Aramaic, Chava, Chavia is snake. Ches, Vav, Yod, He. And according to some, that's why she's named Chava. I'm not making it up. The Pasuk at the end of Perek Gimel, when Adam names his wife, Atikra Shema Chava, Ki Hi Haisa Eim Kol Chai. And some of them first and right that she was called Chava because Chava is from the word Chavia. Chavi in Aramaic means serpent or snake. Because she took the atzas, anacha, she took the advice of the serpent. She ingested the poison of the snake. The price to be paid for eating from the Eitz Hadas was life itself. And at the moment of decision, the Eitz Hadas took that away from her. Rabbi Zevlev said, today when you see children who are off the derech, just understand why they're like that. Cry for them, daven for them, but understand where they're coming from. The temptation is almost so difficult to resist because the Ribbono Shel Olam is so hidden. It's such a battle today. But can we reclaim our lives? Yes. Can we make change? Yes. Can we reestablish normal relationships? Yes. Can we look up instead of down? Yes. Because God had declared the partaking of the forbidden fruit would make her life forfeit. Where are we to regard the internet too as a modern day serpent, beckoning us enticingly to surrender our very lives? We would treat it with extreme care, the care of a snake handler. You know, we were in Florida for a few days last week. It turned into be a very different experience than I anticipated and expected. I didn't realize that the hotel we were at was right by the street closures of Harding and Collins, and it was mamash mashu. We saw a lot of dogs. Biden was in our hotel on Thursday. There were bloodhounds and canine dogs and bomb-sniffing dogs. It was really something. So one day we walked by one of the not-kosher restaurants on Harding. We didn't take food with. I would be like taking calls to Newcastle, or like Rashi says, taking kish of straw to Ofarayim. And Paro says to Moshe, I'm not impressed with your magic. When Moshe appears on the scene and the nachash turns, again a nachash, turns to a staff and swallows all the other nachashim, and water turns to blood. Paro says, I'm not impressed. You're bringing magic to Egypt? That's like bringing straw to Ofarayim, Tevin the Ofarayim. In English, calls to Newcastle. Or in our lingo, bringing food to the trip to Florida. Anyway, so we went to get food one of the times. One of the non-kosher restaurants outside, we saw three dog handlers, two women and a man with their three dogs. They're wearing their canine, the dogs are wearing their canine vests. They looked so tired. A pit bull, a German shepherd, and one more. The German shepherd had the biggest ears, such beautiful dogs laying on the floor with water bowls in front of them. And of course, I thanked them and I wished them luck. And I said, the dogs must be exhausted. They said, they're so exhausted. We saw bloodhounds and bomb-sniffing dogs on the day that Biden was there. If we regarded the internet as a danger to our very lives, we would treat it with extreme care, like a snake handler treats its snake. Those dogs are so important. They're treated, not in a bad way, but the dogs in a very good way. They're such care. They have such an important job to do. The handler is aware of the potential in its hands and it treats it so carefully. We must treat our devices like the nachash in the Garden of Eden with extreme care, not like we're handling a poodle. That's not what I say, that's what the article says. We might keep it in a box to be removed and used when needed. So again, this article, and I certainly am not throwing my phone in the garbage. I can't. I bank on my phone. I listen to Shi'urim on my phone. I'm in touch with my husband and my children when we're not home on my phone. I FaceTime with family overseas on my phone. I check the weather on my phone. I'm not throwing it out. I'm not saying that anyone else should throw it out. But can we diminish our attachment and what we post? Pictures we send around, do they make people feel bad? Do we consider that before we post things? We might keep it in a box to be removed and used when needed, not on our belts to reach for reflexively every other moment. I don't underestimate that the individual and communal will this will take. But neither do I accept the defeatism of those who claim it is futile to even try. I'm going to repeat that sentence. I don't underestimate the individual and communal will and effort that this will take. Ezu Gibor, Akovesh Yetzer, who is a mighty warrior, one who conquers his evil inclination. But neither do I accept the defeatism, the attitude of, well, it's impossible, so why shall I even try? Of those who claim it is futile to try. The Asifa, remember, the whole first half, and Mama's reading second half. The first half is just as long. The Asifa succeeded brilliantly in putting internet use on the perpetual communal agenda. Its ongoing ripple effects have inspired countless Jews to restore Kedusha, holiness, and Tahara, purity, in their lives, and spare them from the fate of the innumerable korbanos the internet has claimed. But now, he said, we need a second Asifa to give us back our lives and to debunk the myth that it cannot be done. It's very powerful. It's very frightening. But also, learning about something and discussing something. One second, please, everybody. One moment, okay? One second, please. Okay, sorry. What was I saying? Sorry. I couldn't script this better than the Ribbono Shel Olam. There was such an invasion of privacy into our lives. We don't even realize much of the time how our privacy is being breached, how our lives are being taken over, our relationships are being destroyed, and even in our bedrooms, the world is always with us. My aunt from Toronto, my aunt Susie Fader, found me an article from an Inyan magazine. What's Inyan? From Bina? Hamodia? It's not dated, so I'm not sure when it's from. Oh yeah, it is dated, just joking. June 23rd, 2021. It's called Out of the Limelight, Safeguarding Our Own and Others' Privacy. Oy vey. Sorry, let's go. This is how it begins. Though it was a hot and humid night outside, it's a joke that's not funny, okay? It's not a true, well, it could be a true story, but it's a joke that's not funny. Though it was a hot and humid night outside, inside the air-conditioned bungalow, it was comfortably cool. In the mood for a hot drink, Getzel Gimplovich proceeded to make himself a cup of decaffeinated coffee. After placing the container of milk in the refrigerator, he was about to make a shahako when he heard pounding on his door. Startled, he nearly scalded himself. He put down the coffee. He hurriedly rushed to open the door. Pinchas Plotterman, who owned the neighboring bungalow, stood there with a frantic look on his face. "You're Fleishik," he yelled to Getzel. "You ate Frank's for supper less than an hour ago." Before Getzel even had a chance to respond, Velvel Weisbesser, whose bungalow was located on the other side of Getzel Gimplovich's bungalow, came to the rescue. "Those were, how do you call them, par Franks. They were made from soy. Don't worry," he said to Pinchas. "He's not really Fleishik's." He shouted this from the comfort of his own porch. This allegorical story, the author writes, is an amusing one, but it is reflective of a very real but rarely addressed issue of drawing and crossing boundaries of privacy. When we put our whole lives online, pun intended, on the line, online for everyone to see, everyone to know about, everyone to read about, everyone to comment on, we bring the world that shouldn't be into our bedrooms and our homes and our lives. And we take ourselves out of the world we're meant to be in. It's not only about inappropriate images, it's about the quality and the quantity of the lives that we lead and even if everything we do there is kosher, how much time do we really have in this world? 70 years, says David HaMelech. If you have real strength, 80 years, Kapitel Tzadi of Tehillim. And they're all with Omo, Amelus for Aven. Is this what the majority of our day, half, more than half of Americans, are spending more than half of their waking hours looking down instead of looking up? If you think that this is not applicable to you, I'm not being facetious at all. Okay, then kol kavod. But for many, it's very relevant. But, says Eitan Kobri, it's going to take a lot of will and a lot of effort. But we must not accept the attitude of defeatism and the idea that it cannot be done. May Asher be Azchus Rafua. Cats in the cradle, the man missed his whole life and realized when it was too late. Confucius says, everyone has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only have one. May our learning be an aliyah neshama from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah Hashem, Miriam Front. Padarach Shadim Rotze Leleich, Ba Malichin Osa. May the Bon Hashem help us reclaim time and beauty. Imani Khan, make sure Hakol Khan. I hope Bezer Hashem next week the weather and the traffic will allow us to be back in person. Besoros Tovas, everybody, and thank you for joining Kol Tov.